Well, we got to hope that departing, that God will lead us in this the time ahead. So let's not fear, let's not be sad. Three things. Firstly, thanks. I'm very, very thankful. My wife and I are very thankful to you all here. Not for having us here, but for feeding us, cleaning up after us. We know what it's like when you come to us. There's a lot of cleaning up. it's been real. The service has been absolutely superb, first class. And the service of looking after one another is not to be despised. No, it's no small thing to show hospitality and kindness and just we're all equal in the ministry. There's no as we said yesterday, the pastor's job's a dirty job in many ways. It's not to be envied or looked up to, but the servants of the Lord are all the people, and you've been absolutely wonderful, and it's been a real joy to meet you. And which is the second point? Is it? Which is the second and third? I don't think it matters. Let's have this second. We'd like to extend our welcome to you. I haven't discussed this with my wife, but we will be glad. Any of you who want to come over and stay, visit, you'll be very, very, very welcome. And we'd love to share more fellowship with you in that way. And either come to London. If you're going to something else, that's okay, as long as you're not just going to theatre and wasting it. No, but seriously, you're welcome to do that as well, I'm sure, but within reason. I would actually just invite you to one other thing, which you probably have to pay for, but you can apply for discount, is that there's at the beginning of September, there is the Protestant Reformation Society conference on the subject of preaching. It's a really good 3 days in Oxford, it's 2 days over 3 days. If you know what I mean. Like we're 4 days over three, aren't we? Here, if they're 3 days over four, it's 2 days over three, and it's a really good time as well. All sorts of different people. Various ones are into open air preaching, and then there's the old folk, and so you get a good, really, really good variety of friends, and a good conference with well prepared lectures. But then they give a huge amount of time for discussion afterwards. So it's really, really, really interesting, and you can really, you know, have a go or offer something or bring. And they really welcome that. It's really beneficial to us all, and that's been going for about 30, 40 years. That conference by godly, very godly men, and I would recommend 1st to 3rd of September for that. And that's the invitation. And third was a request. We haven't maybe talked much about our work at home, and some of you are a bit familiar with it, to pray for it. We have one particular request though, is we have four congregations in the church are in the continuing. One of them was started by the man who became our bishop, the second bishop. That sounds dreadful, bishop. You hear the word, it just makes you cringe. But this man didn't want to be. It's the way we organise ourselves. And we have someone to take responsibility for the overall. There are checks and balances. Each congregation has a degree of independence. Well, has independence, but we are interdependent as well, and we have a committee and we work together. But the man who started was the minister in Wolverhampton. He's previously in the Church of England. He was mainly a missionary in Morocco, and his son is still the minister in Reading now. He died. He was when he had a heart attack. I heard him preaching after. It was like he was getting on to his 80 just before he died. He kept going. It was like hearing a young man on fire. It was absolutely, you wouldn't hear a young man on fire like he was preaching, but it was really wonderful. But he was a minister in Wolverhampton, came out of the Church of England when ordination of women came in with like no provision made for him. He would get his pension eventually, but for some time there was a very a difficult and uncertain period. Some of the congregation followed him. Most of them, of course, were wedded to the original church. We carried on there with a small group, and there's still a few of them who meet, and they're happy to sing metrical psalms. And so it's quite good. And but now that he's died, and they really, the prayer, do pray that someone, I've been praying, well, could we have like a person who would be happy just to go there and like Moses and just suffer with the people of God? And I think that's what it would take. And there's an 88 year old man leading the service. One other comes, there's a family from Wales who were particularly happy with the psalms. There's almost a free reign. It's committed to the Book of Common Prayer, and of course that involves a certain amount of infant baptism perhaps, but apart from that, there's a lot to be said for it. And we do pray for us that this work wouldn't just cease. It's really at a desperately desperate point, really. And I'm actually in a position to, as the chairman of the, I've been appointed chairman of the trustees of it now. And I mean, in theory, we could sell their church and put the money towards something for ourselves. We don't want to do that. That's the last thing. I mean, I shouldn't just say that sort of thing. But that's not what we want to do at all. I mean, it's really a needy city. And if you could live in a bog, then you could live in Wolverhampton. It's really is that sort of, it's one of the least desirable cities in the country. But there's lovely people. The same as everyone, aren't they? Real, when people become Christians, you could be in Ireland, you could be in California, you could be in Spancel Hill or wherever it was. It could be anywhere. So do please pray for us for that request, that light in that place would be able to shine. But they were able to get a lovely little chapel that belonged to the Jews, and the Jews shut it down. It's a long story, it's only a short story. They had too few people for it, the Jewish people, and they knew our friend Mr. Malcolm, and they said, we want you to have it for your congregation. And they bought it very, very cheaply, but it needed a huge amount of work on it, and money was brought, people gave money, and they kept them enough for grants from the lottery fund. Now, we're not having the lottery fund, and the city council finally did give them non-lottery grants to help them with it, but the church and friends gave a large amount to it. And it was a lovely little place. Some of the old, it's still got the boxes with the 10 words, the first 10 words of the Ten Commandments on, in a box, like an ark behind the, some of the little old features are still there, the original synagogue, but it's a lovely little chapel. So that's my request. I give you thanks, invitation, and a request for a matter of prayer for us. And well, let's pray, and we'll turn. Father in heaven, Lord, we need thee. We are most thankful to thee, Lord, for thy great grace toward us sinners in saving us and counting us righteous, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and adopted and joined together in Christ, and belonging to thee, Lord, thine inheritance. And thou hast put thy word in our hearts and entrusted us as thy people, Lord, to live to thy glory and for as long as we have. And we pray for thy help and encouragement now, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We come now to the what I call the wilderness witness, and that may sound rather daunting, but in fact, the way we're approaching it, I trust, I really have prayed that this will be a very encouraging message and a blessing to you. The message last night was, I found very difficult to prepare, and this one is rather different, but I trust as we turn to the Gospel of Matthew and then the Gospel of Luke, I want to consider the wilderness witness from the point of view of people who met Jesus Christ, what it was like, the trophies of grace, and that we may pick up on something of their devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm probably taking things in slightly strange contexts and ways, but I think I'm sure that what we have here is a taste of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there's some extremely precious things here which we can really be very encouraged by. And I think some of them are a little bit surprising, but very encouraging. I'm saying that first, I want you to say it afterwards. But Matthew, so you take Matthew chapter 5, this is the first, I'm going to give you 9 examples here, and I'm sure there are many, many more we could have turned to, and there's some very precious touches of the Lord. We've been seeking that we would follow the Lord Jesus Christ more sincerely, to look to him and to love him and to cling to him, as it were, and here are some of these touches and explanations. The Sermon on the Mount, we start, blessed are the poor in spirit, and then as the sermon goes, I'm not sure if I can quite sum it all up in a few words, the qualities of a Christian described, and the things that we feel we lack are actually the things that we need, and then we come on to there must be this righteousness, verse 20, and then the end of chapter 5, perfect. One hand we're poor in spirit, but yet we're to be perfect. And then it's really a slight, I think chapter 6, subject of spiritual sincerity, that hidden prayer. We've seen public prayer here. I don't know your private prayers, but and private almsgiving. We want to say, well, I've given this much. No, why not? There's something very special in the way that a Christian is to behave, and that prayer, as we're praying, but you're to forgive others as well. And then that kind of sort of carelessness, is it? Take no thought for this, take no thought for that, take no thought for that. That's what we get. No. The Lord will supply. The Lord supplies for his people. So this great trust there. And then the narrow way, entering in at a narrow gate. There are lots of hypocrites. And then it's those that take these words of Jesus Christ there. They're on the rock. The wind and the rains have come. They'll be standing still through. You think, actually, it's washed off some of the dirt. There we are. Well, who is this man? Again. And you may say, well, you're messing around. No, I refuse to be called messing around. This. Come to chapter 8. And I think it opens with such a man. It's strange, isn't it, though? But you see it. He comes. So who's going to perform the Sermon on the Mount, exactly? What is needed? Well, it's a touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is. He comes down from the mountain, and a man comes unto him. A little while, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's it, isn't it? That's coming to Christ. He's the one. He's the one who fulfills the Sermon on the Mount. He's got no trust in himself, no hope in himself, and he's absolutely, I need thee, Lord, utterly and completely. Thou can do it. It's how we come to Christ. It's how we live with Christ. It's how we go out of here and say, yes, it was good being together, but I'm going and thou can. Thou can. We go like the leper. And he's touched. The Lord Jesus touched him. Be thou clean. Immediately he's cleansed. The second, because we've got a few to do here. The second, go on to Matthew chapter 9. There's a woman. Verse 20, diseased with an issue of blood, 12 years. She came behind him, touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Jesus turned about and he saw, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. My faith made thee whole. The woman was made whole. It says in one of the other accounts that he sensed that strength has gone out of him. Just came to Christ. Come to him. Trust him. Yes. It's just a touch. Just a touch. Just the hem of his garment. All sufficient, complete, the fullness, the sufficiency of our great Saviour. We only come with a word, Lord. And in chapter 15, I swear that there are many, many more. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. And Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her, not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent unto the lost, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat at the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It appears that this walk that the Lord Jesus made to Tyre and Sidon, this is the only incident that's recorded in his whole time that he went there. He didn't go anywhere without purpose. This ends up being the whole purpose of a long trip. And yet she has this strange pleading with him. It must be that he's the only one who could help her. He even the gospel was to go to the Gentiles later after Pentecost. That he, she could even push forth his it seems to interrupt his agenda. There's almost no explanation for it. It seems to be almost, we've got to say, almost against his will. And yet, it's not. We commend her, don't we? This is our Saviour. She's come to him for help in a time of need. And I hope we can apply this to ourselves. Think maybe we can't come to Christ. Think maybe he's going to have some excuse against us. He will. He will hear us. And then to the Gospel of Luke. And start with chapter 7. See what it is here again to come to Jesus Christ. And the beginning of this chapter, this centurion, important, powerful man, he was even counted worthy. The disciples said that that he was worthy, verse 4. It's nice to be thought of as being worthy. But this man, in verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. Verse 6, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy. This was a great man in building a synagogue for the Jews. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, he's not worthy. Not. This is our sense, isn't it? We're utterly unable to come to Jesus Christ, but yet we say the word, Lord. It's another beautiful incident. And then to chapter 7 again. This very precious incident here. So we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. I put to you, this is the wilderness walk. This is our duty of devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. She is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Sorry, did I skip a section? The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. Yeah. which had, they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto him, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. This great forgiveness. Whether our sins are the worst or not, the forgiveness of them by the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely amazing. It's absolutely full and complete. And this is our wilderness walk with him, to be devoted to him. It's fine and wonderful, beautiful. We mentioned briefly the prodigal son in Luke 15. If you look at that chapter, it begins with the man who had 100 sheep, and he lost one, and he left the 99 in the wilderness, and he went off to find the other sheep. I don't know if you have kept sheep, any of you, if you know people that keep sheep. I've helped shepherds a couple of times, but they're tough guys. One of them I met carrying a cement on each shoulder, heavy, well stocky chap. He was so tough he wouldn't let you take a picture of him when he was working. He was threatened to smash up my camera. This was a friend. They're very tough guys. If they lose a sheep, when they come back, they put it in there quietly and get on with their work. They don't invite their friends around and have parties. This man does. This is what Jesus gives the illustration of the prodigal son. When he's found, it's like someone finding a lost sheep and making a big celebration and brings all his neighbours around. It's really over the top. But this is the joy in heaven over a sinner that repents. It's absolutely wonderful. And the woman who lost her coin, she's busy doing her housework. She hasn't got time to stop and invite all the neighbours around. You may disagree on that, but I think that these two illustrations that the Lord Jesus gives are wonderfully amazing ones, and that the woman with the lost coin, she found it, and it's good, she's glad she's found it. But do we seriously stop and invite all our neighbours? Maybe they did in those days, maybe they were a bit more expressive than we are. Maybe you would do the same in Ireland. But in England we certainly wouldn't. We'd soon be on to the next thing. We wouldn't have time to stop. But there is this great, as it says, I've gone on too far. There is, he found it, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenting. So when this prodigal son comes back to his father, as we know, it's an illustration of someone coming back to God, and the elder brother should have been joining in that huge rejoicing. It is such a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ accepts that, and he doesn't just accept back and it's there we are and they're there and they're back and they're okay. There is this wonderful rejoicing that it is much greater than we would ever imagine and enjoy. The returning of someone to Jesus Christ is fully glorious, and it's the delight of the Lord, this precious Saviour. And now I've written these down in the wrong order, but chapter 16, and another wonderful picture from the story of Lazarus. This again shows our wonderful Saviour. Here, there's a rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen, fed sumptuously every day. I know you're all familiar with these, so I'm being very brief. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. That's what we don't know, these beggars die. I knew a beggar once. Wasn't there next week. Oh, he died. Oh, no one cared, no one bothered. Shame, what a waste of a life, really. Some lives don't seem to achieve very much, don't seem to go to do anything miserable. The state of people, well, you wonder why. Like, people wonder why they ever lived. What was the point of these people of being in the world? It was carried by the angels. Into Abraham's bosom. We know the story of the rich man. We might envy the rich sometimes. There, we know his misery too well. I remember hearing this one preacher that's worth going to hear sometimes. Most people wouldn't bother too much, but he took a glass of water and said, "Not a drop of water." The rich man. But for the poor beggar, not just with Abraham, not because he was a beggar, we know that, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the picture of him. Gives everything. We wait. Patiently wait for him. This is the good news. In the wilderness, these witnesses, they witness to what we know of Christ. Every one of them. They stand. They're like you could do an extra chapter in Hebrews and fill it with all these people. Those with faith, mighty, wonderful. Then this one in Luke 17, verse 11, the penultimate here, yeah, but maybe you can think of lots more. This one here also met the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, verse 12, when Jesus came to a certain village and met 10 men that were lepers, stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priest." It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back in a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. It was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? They were not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. He said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, we're always perplexed about the 9. But the one turned with a loud voice and glorified God. This was his saviour. This is what Jesus Christ does. This is what he did. This is what he does do. We give glory to him. We fall down before him. We give thanks to him. Marvellous. Should be like the other 9. They went their own way. Why is it? It's nothing in us, is it? Well, finally, 2. I call one of my favourite old ladies in Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20 and verse 45. It's in the next chapter really, but we begin here. Luke 20 verse 45. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation. He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of the truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. That she of her penury, that means that she had nothing, she had less than nothing, cast in all the living that she had. And as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. They asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And of what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. As you're reading through that passage, you read of the fall of Jerusalem and the end, what we call the end times. And then it says at the end of that chapter, wherefore, so, verse 36. I was reading verse 34. And take heed of yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, which means sickness from overeating or drinking. Excuse me. And drunkenness, cares of this life. so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. I suggest quite much that the one that was able to stand in that day before the Lord was that poor widow. You wouldn't have expected it. You've got the end times specialists, the clever guys, and you've got this woman who's got nothing, and her giving, we have to read into it a little bit, but we're reading in the truth into it, into what's not expressed in those, in the actual sentences. This woman is fully devoted to Almighty God. We know that is through our Lord Jesus Christ. She's got nothing. She's got less than nothing. But it's all the Lord. It's all the Lord. He's the glory. And the Lord Jesus sees that. There you are. That's it there. A devotion. Like the woman with the alabaster box. Pour the oil on him. That's our wilderness wanderings. There's dangers. But this woman wasn't in danger, was she? She was safe. She was in the arms of Jesus Christ. She was all for him. All by his grace. She had nothing else. All that she had, she gave to him. She had her responsibilities. Maybe she had children. Don't know, maybe she didn't. She was all for Christ, all for him. And she stands as a pillar of truth here amongst the fearful days in which we live. And the end of the mountains and the earthquakes and the wars and what's going to happen and how are we going to deal with everything. And she's there. Giving her all to God in Jesus Christ. This is the wilderness walk. Nothing else. All for the Lord. This is some of my favourite people who've come close to Jesus Christ. Who knows what it is. This simple humility, whether it's a leper crying out, Lord, have mercy on me, thou can make me clean. Whether it's the woman that touched the hem of his garment, again the woman, the dogs have the crumbs, Lord, save my daughter. Whether it's a centurion, and as a respected, I'm unworthy, Lord, just say the word. Whether it's the woman knowing the forgiveness of all her sins and the tears of sadness used to the glory of God, the washing of the Lord Jesus Christ. May our tears of confession be used to the glory of God. Whether it's the prodigal son who thought he could return, but he never expected that God would be so joyful over him. amazing. He doesn't just forgive us, he gives us his best.
Amen.
What a beggar. What a life. A friend of ours says, he says, my life's gone. No. Mentioned the man that knocks on our door, comes round. Nothing, it's all gone, my life. You've got Christ. What a glorious inheritance. Maybe we're just 1 in 10. We could be burdened. Where are the 9? You know, 9 other people. They've come close to Christ. But they don't praise him. They can't worship him. They're not thankful to him. And we fall down before him. He's given us everything. Wherever the 9. This is our Lord. We're complete in him. And the woman counted worthy. She's got nothing. What else could she do? 1 or 2 coins. Nothing. All for the Lord. All for the Lord. Come to Jesus Christ. We ask everything in him. He's glorious. He's perfect. He'll keep you through this wilderness walk. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Hard days are probably to come ahead for all of us. Maybe not yet. Maybe comfortable years. Then some hard days. And the Lord will keep us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we wish we could come closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We wish we could sit there at his feet. Oh Lord, could we even raise a tear for him on his feet without we have a hair? Lord, we thank thee. He is perfect Saviour. His death was fully sufficient. We're righteous, counted righteous by the Lord, our righteousness through faith in his blood. Lord, we thank you. These things are simple enough for a little one to understand. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, we know almost as soon as we leave this place, the battle begins. Arguments may suddenly rise up between us and our loved ones of immediate concerns and things that are not in place and what we should have done better, Lord. And oh Lord, help us to keep short accounts with thee. Help us to be very gentle to one another. Help us to love our wives, wives and husbands, friends and family. Help us to bear with the weak. Lord, bless thy church. May we be more like these people whom we read. It's all of Christ. Lord, bless. Don't curse us, Lord, but bless us. We know we have a blessed covenant in the blood of Christ. We thank you, Lord. We pray for strength. Help us to do the things that are quite mundane, day by day, without resentment. Teach us contentment, we pray. Especially contentment in our Saviour, though we can't see him, yet we love him. We love him more, but we love him, and we rejoice, and we would at times rejoice with joy unspeakable. We pray that joy may be full and complete and abounding.
Amen.
And we listen to the commands of the scriptures, where the Apostle Paul in prison is saying to them who are outside, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Why would we be commanded? Shouldn't it be natural to us? Oh Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let us close with Psalm 72 and verses 17 to 19. Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19. It says in the 17th verse, men shall be blessed in him and blessed. All nations shall him call. We considered some individuals who blessed him and who are blessed in him and by him. And we thank God that nations call him blessed. Now, blessed be the Lord our God, the God of Israel, for he alone doth wondrous works. And we who have been blessed by his grace can confess that he only does those wonderful works in the hearts of the children of men. Psalm 72, let us stand to sing.
His name forever shall endure, as like the sun it shall. Men shall be blessed in him and blessed.
Assurance that the God who has blessed us and those of us who are blessed in him will be blessed still because our God is faithful. Our God does not change. Therefore, we are not consumed. Lord, we thank you for every blessing
every encouragement, every exhortation, every thought that we have had of our blessed Lord and Savior. Father, go before us this day and this week, and lead us, Lord, in triumphant procession as we follow Him. We give Thee thanks for the things that we shall receive before we leave this place. We ask, Lord, the blessings that only God can give upon our souls. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.